I wasn't here last Sunday for Mother's Day, so I want to say happy Mother's Day a week. I ain't going to say late because I said it last week for you anyway. But happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in here. And I wanted just to share a few pictures with you as we went last week and saw Kelsey walk across that stage and just enjoy 4 years of college and the blessing of the Lord, making her rich. It's making her rich. I ain't talking about financial. I'm talking about rich. It's having all the supply that you need when you need it. And she's got all the supply up here in this brain that she needed to take all those exams. And God has gifted her with that. That's one of her gifts, is to be able to see something, read it, and have it. I don't have all that all the time. By the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, He can bring back my memories. But I'm talking about up here in your brain. This girl can remember some things. So here's a couple pictures I wanted to share. We're very proud, and like I say, they're with Rowan. Got a baseball game today, so she's with her mother, and I'm sure they're talking about some things of the Lord. Kelsey had to listen to some Andrew Womack, some of his teachings today as they was heading out the door. And then the next slide, well, I'm going to get back in a little bit about divine guidance today. I'm not going to get to go far today, but we're going to continue on. That was an awesome weekend we had. But talking about divine guidance, in divine guidance, being trusting God, being led by the Holy Spirit, being led by God, the Spirit of God, brings divine protection. And after we left, we were coming home. Kelsey's car was filled up with the rest of her stuff she had in her dorm. Our car was filled up with bodies, and I was driving. And but she told me at the gas station, talking about the Holy Spirit, the inward witness on the inside of you, on the inside of the believer. You had these knowings, these intuition, this something on the inside saying something to you. When I stopped at the gas station and filled up both cars, I'm looking at Kelsey's tires. It's just, you know, it's something the dad does for the girls, hoping for the boys too. They should be doing this. But you're checking tires. I'm looking, but I'm also sensing something. But you can override those nudgings. So everything looked good on the outside, so we filled up, we're going down the road. And Kelsey told me, Dad said, you know, I might be going a little bit faster than you now, so if I pass you, I'm like, this is Kelsey, she usually does the speed limit, but I think she's ready to get home. So sure enough, maybe we was just coming out of Greensboro, coming down this way on 85. Here she goes, passing me. And I heard something. It just didn't sound right. I even cracked my window down, rolled it down, and it was like a click, a click, a click, a click. And here I go again. I suppressed it because I had a phone. I could have told her stop or let's pull over a minute. So about maybe 5 or 10 minutes on down the road. So she must have been going about 72. I was doing about 68. I see a trailer, this guy's trailer. He's got a big old flat tire. His trailer's pulled over to the side. And, you know, his tire's almost completely gone. Well, we pass him. I'm in the third lane over here on the left. Lo and behold, I see Kelsey's car. So I'm like, whoa. So I get over here probably about a half a mile down the road, not quite that far. So I get off to the side of the road, and I put the Suburban back in reverse going down this on the left side, right side of the road, traffic coming, you know, rah, rah. This is what I find. This is her tire, her right tire. And Terry could probably see, this is not a good picture. One more shot I took. That's what it looked like when she pulled off to the side of the road. But this tire was still inflated. It was still up. And I asked her after it was all over with. She said, well, it felt like a little bump, a bump, you know. She's doing 70, probably 75 mile an hour. This tire should have blew out. And then that would have caused all kind of havoc. But it didn't. Because we serve a God that delivers and rescues. See, Daddy heard, but he didn't hear. You know, because if I really would have heard what the Lord was saying, he would have told me to probably inspect these tires a lot quicker. Or it might have just been him preparing me, because I think when I saw the trailer, I think something was in the road, because this tire is slashed. It's just like destroyed. I mean, that wouldn't be something small. I think she hit something in the road. Maybe the same thing that trailer hit, because then I'm out here, car's packed. We're trying to find the jack. What's underneath all this stuff? But we got AAA, so we went ahead and called them. You know, I'm pretty. Y'all seen what clothes I had on? I was pretty dressed up, had my bath, smelling pretty good, looking pretty good. I was not prepared to change a tire on 85 with traffic. Vroom, vroom. But so we called AAA and they said about an hour. I'm like, no. Somebody get me something. I said, somebody put my ironing board down. So I'm on my ironing board on the hot pavement. I said, we got to get this thing going. I mean, we ain't sitting out here an hour. We got mama. She's in the car. You know, we're ready to get home. I want you to know about 20 minutes later, AAA pulled up. 20 minutes. That's favor. Didn't ask for it, but had been sowing seed. God honored us. And he came with all the impact wrenches, Cecil. He came out there, you know, he went, bop, 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 bop. I'm like, praise God, do your thing. And then you know what I did? What should we have done? Let him know who we are. We ain't just the world. I gave him all I had. Wasn't a whole lot. It was all the cash I had, but I gave him all of it. I just, you know, I looked through here. I'm like, no, take it all out. And blessed him. And I think that showed a difference. But you know what? God blessed us, protected Kelsey, and got us home. And that's being divinely guided by God. Not just when things happen, ain't time to start praying. You start praying, preparing for things in your life way before. So God can work these things out. Amen? So God is good. You know, there's mercy. You know, mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve. God's grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Amen? I want both. I had both hands up this morning worshiping God. I want mercy when God knows you ain't been sowing the right thing, son, but I'm going to give you some mercy here. Amen? Because of this old flesh. You know, Terry was talking about this morning when he opened up, talking about, you know, our flesh always wants to get in the way. The flesh in itself is just, it's just flesh. It doesn't know how to worship God. It's just flesh. But the Spirit, once we get born again, that Spirit is a Holy Spirit. Our spirit has been made new unto God, and it knows how to worship God. And the flesh, it just does what the spirit and the mind agree to do. So this is a key. So very briefly here, just last week we were talking about how how God guides us by divine guidance through our inner witness, that inward witness. This is the primary way that God will guide you. And it's really, I'd say, the best way. That inward witness, just the inward knowing. It's by becoming, building a relationship with God to where you know Him. And you know what He does. And you know what He would do. And you just do it. It's an automatic. It's an inward witness. We're not to be guided by outward appearances, but we're to follow this witness. Follow that inward witness. And it's a perception. It's a knowing. And this week, just want to maybe briefly talk about how that we can enhance that inward witness. I'm all about wanting to do things better. And that's what God is there for. But He's never going to push you. He's there to always take you and walk with you. How can we enhance the inward witness? Well, by having inner peace. That was spoken this morning. Just peace be multiplied. If you got peace in something, you can go somewhere. And wise counsel. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 7. My wife bought a plaque that's on our wall maybe a couple years ago. It says, the grace of God. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to look at it, getting the picture. You want to say it, Ruthie? The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. I like that. It's the word. There's a scripture underneath it. I'm not sure of the scripture, but that's key. God's not going to put you somewhere that He hasn't got grace to protect you. Wherever He's called you to go, there's grace there to protect you, for your finances, to bless you. Everything you need is there. The key is being there, right? Being there. Being there. How do we get there? How do I get somewhere? I usually ask my wife. How do I get there, Brenda? I'll ask her. She'll tell me. She'll tell me the way to go. She'll tell me when I'm not going the right way. It's quicker if you go this way. I'm like, well, she doesn't know. I'm going to stop and get me a milkshake. See, she don't know all the details, right? But that's what we've got to do from God. To be at that place that He's called for us, to be protected, to be blessed, abundantly above all that we can ask or think, we need to be there. And Andrew Womack is just a great example of this, to where when he started out in the ministry, he pastored three small churches, I think. He said when he first started doing Bible studies, maybe 5-10 people. He's been in the ministry. He never quit. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. When people said, "What are you doing? His parents, his church, you're called to teach. You're called to be a school teacher." But see, that was not the call that God had on him. God told him to quit school. Now, you got to make sure you hear from God if He tells you to quit school. Amen. My wife quit her job when we got born again, and she started staying home. But you got to hear from God, and you got to be ready and be prepared. But God told him to quit school, and when he did, he lost his government. His dad had passed away. He lost his government money that was given to his mom because of his dad passing away. And that's when the Vietnam War was going on, and he got drafted into the war. But he said, I was at the right place that God needed me. And he said God protected him through that because he was in the perfect will of God. Now the man's been in the ministry for 45 years, and Karis Bible College, the ministry is booming up there. They just built a $32 million sanctuary and is getting ready to start another $40 or $50 million. And God's not done. He's gave him a vision that is beyond him. But see where he started. He started with small things. He trusted God in the small things. He didn't listen to what people were saying. He listened to what God was saying. And he trusted him. And God called him to teach people grace and truth. Just do that. Just teach them, Andrew. And God has brought him up. God has exalted him. But he stays humble. He gives all the honor and glory to God. See, a lot of times that comes... You gotta stay humble, because pride can get in there and can get in there and destroy it real quick. But it's awesome. So Matthew 6, verse 5 through 7, we're talking about how to enhance this inward witness so we can be divinely guided by the Holy Spirit. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. There's the reward right there. Great prayer, brother. Awesome prayer. But you, I'm talking to you now, but you, when you pray, go into your room. It doesn't have to be your closet. Wherever you are, go into that secret place. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, who is in heaven in that secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And that's how God does it. You go to Him in secret, and then He makes sure people see you openly. See Him. He makes sure that the blessings, people see you get blessed. And see, a lot of people have a problem with that. A lot of people in the church, Christians, have a problem if somebody's being blessed. They think being blessed is being poor. Or being defeated. No, that ain't God's blessing. Is bringing you out of that pit. And bringing you up so the whole world, like Daniel, brought him up. See, they didn't want Daniel to get that position. But they were fighting against God. And they lost the battle. Because Daniel didn't do what they said. He did what he knew to do. Pray to God. A living God. This is how you can enhance this inward witness. Is just a life like Colette and Terry talked about, just a life of worship and prayer. It shouldn't be pray a certain, don't get caught up in I need to pray this certain time during the day. No, just pray without ceasing. Go through the whole day worshiping God, just any time. Get alone with God in that secret place. Sometimes that's going to take going to another room. I've got game stations playing, NASCAR, you know, sometimes I got to go outside, then you got the neighbors barking, the dogs barking. Sometimes it's hard to find that quiet place, but God is in all that stuff. He's right there. He never leaves me. He's on the inside, but sometimes you got to find a quiet place. Learn his language. Watch him. Listen to him. Watch him. Watch Jesus. What did Jesus do? He will reward you openly. Another way to enhance that is the inner peace we talked about. Having his inner peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. How are you going to learn this inner witness? By ministering to others. By showing them love, joy. Pastor, I don't have nothing to be happy about. I don't care. You're not going by your feelings. You're going by your spirit. On the inside of you, you have joy. You have peace. You have long suffering. It's on the inside. It's in your spirit. So you just got to tell your flesh, shut up, devil. I'm gonna rejoice today. I'm going to pray for my brother today. I'm going to give somebody some peace today. See, you can't give somebody something you don't have. You don't have peace in your flesh, in your feelings. You have it in your spirit. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. Anointed with the oil of gladness. It came from God. He wasn't happy on the cross, but he was anointed. He endured that because of that joy that was on the inside. Because he saw us in the future. That's what you got to do. Like me and Ruth were talking about this morning, you've got to minister to people. You've got to look past the problems. You've got to look past the sin. Look past the flesh and look to the heart like Jesus did. And minister life. You've got to speak life. That's the only way that we're going to help Jesus get the work done. Get people into the kingdom. And get them out of mediocrity. Just, you see it. You see rivers flow. And then you'll see a place where the river backs up and it's kind of like a pool. It's just, the river's not moving, it's not flowing, it's just dead. It's a cesspool, it just sits there. That's what mediocrity is. It's just having all this knowledge but not going out and sharing it. Man, we're full of the living waters that's on the inside of us. That fountain is on the inside of us. We've got to draw it out and then speak it out. Share it with others. God gives the increase. God does the work. And we do this by finding him, by spending time with him. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, you don't have to turn there. It says, be careful, be anxious for nothing. Because God will keep your hearts and minds. He's going to keep it. That's where the peace comes from. Don't be anxious when you see things happening. You know, Colette was talking about things going on in the world, and there's all kind of turmoil. A lot of times, to get to that secret place, you got to cut the TV off. Because a lot of times, there's nothing good coming on there. I mean, there's news, there's things happening. God is greater. He's greater than all that. Amen? When John the Baptist was beheaded, what did Jesus do? That was his cousin. That was his relative. What did he do? He went out and started preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, healing all manner of sickness. So he went against the devil's kingdom. He said, you took my cousin's head. Now he went and cut the devil's head off. He started healing people, coming against his kingdom. He was releasing the love of God, the life of God. And I've seen this, you reap what you sow. I've seen this so many times in my life, I'd say in my early walk with the Lord, seeing people that had problems just like I did. But what did I do? Don't focus on my problems, but focus on how I could help that person. In doing that, I got healed. In doing that, I remember just helping an older lady at one of our, when I was in the apartment maintenance. She was an elderly lady and she didn't have a lot of finances and it was hot. She didn't even have air conditioning. I said, Sherry, I said, let's take something here. Let's get her a window unit. Went and bought her a window unit. I didn't know my air conditioning unit was going to go out 2 or 3 months down the road. But when it did, I got abundant supply. We got a brand new unit replaced. Our insurance kicked in. But see, we sowed seed. We sowed favor. I didn't see it coming, but still, we saw a need, and we asked God to help us, and we met that need. And that's a blessing. That's how you get healed, is helping others. This is the piece where you sense the Holy Spirit is pleased with the direction you're going. Make sure I went to the right page here. I won't get us off. Yeah, enhancing the inward witness. Another way you can do it, the Word confirmed over and over and over. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. This is how you're getting direction. This is how you're getting light. Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17 says, all scripture. the Old Testament and the New, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. This is the best counselor you can go to, right here, right? It's all in His Word. It's been inspired by the Holy Ghost, by men that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, written. This is unfailing. It'll work. It will work. I might miss it sometimes. I'm not going to say I'm going to give you all the right wisdom that you need, but this word, Peter said there's a more sure word of prophecy. Don't believe an angel unless he's saying the same thing this word's saying, because this word is more sure. Because when you read the word, first comes illumination as you read this word. It's a confirmation to that inward witness. It's a knowing on the inside of you that this is right. When I say this feels right, it's like a knowing. God's confirming it. There's some things that's been said this morning through the worship, through the ministry. God's confirming some things to you this morning through His Word. And if you be willing and obedient, just be a vessel to Him, He'll use you. The gifts, it all works by love. When you start loving people, that's when the gifts start working. God's gifts is when you operate in love. Next, you got repetition. First comes illumination when you're in the Word. Then next, repetition. The same verse comes at you many times. You're hearing that same verse many times. And then you'll have some references. Something will drop down in your spirit. Like this morning. That was not just an inward witness this morning when I opened up the Bible. That was a spectacular guidance this morning. That was just God opening up that book for me to bless Daniel and Darius and the Robinsons this morning. That's what He specifically wanted them to hear today. And that's awesome. You know, as a baby Christian, I used to get that. You know, you'd be just open up the Word, and man, right there it was. Just open up that book on that page. Well, see, that's good, but then we grow. And God says, seek Me, and you'll find Me. When you seek Me with all your heart, that's when you got to get some time equity built up in here, right? A multitude of counselors brings safety. Multitude of counselors. I'll give you something here. But then you get into the Word. Then you get around that friend that you've built a relationship with is also a Christian. A multitude of counselors bring safety. By two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. See, when you're asking for something from God, look for two or three witnesses of it. Just don't take the first thing you hear, but then make sure it lines up with the Word of God. This is how you can enhance this witness that you're getting. And that's out of Proverbs 12, verses 15. A wise counsel, someone who is expert in this area where you need guidance. Lisa here, that's one of her giftings is counseling. See, that's what she teaches at the school, Christian counseling. I was wanting to think there was something there I needed to share this morning about school. It might come to me. I was thinking I had something there. And spiritual counsel, that's someone giving the counsel of the Lord. And that's Proverbs 19. 21. This is one prayer I prayed years ago when I felt like God had called me. I said, Lord, don't let me ever never teach nobody in error. Lord, let me proclaim Your Word. And there was times I said something and then I found in the Word it was wrong. And I went back to that person. I said, hey, I didn't understand quite what this meant here. I mean, it's okay if you mess up, but then the Lord will, if you ask for correction, He'll correct you. And I've heard Pastor Jim say many times, there's tapes that he done years ago that he said he had to go back and destroy those tapes because they weren't correctly right. They were off a little bit. What did I say? Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, it will stand. And how will it stand, Colette? Strong. It'll stand strong. His counsel will stand. It'll go through the fire. It'll come out. You'll come out smelling with no smoke. It'll stand. His counsel will stand. But you got to take that counsel and you got to believe it. You got to believe it like Daniel did until they rolled a stone over the cave. He was in outer darkness. The stone was rolled over that cave, and it was signed with the, just like Jesus, when they put his body in the tomb and they used the king's signet, they sealed that tomb. They sealed that tomb of Daniel too. It was dark in there, and he knew there was lions, and I'm sure they were, you could hear a lion purr. I'm sure they were roaring. But Daniel said, "My God sent an angel." An angel is not an angel of darkness. He's an angel of light. That angel illuminated that darkness. He brought light to that darkness. Illuminated that cave and shut the mouths of those. Just said one angel. I don't know how many lions were down there, but it doesn't take God. God's power is power. If you need one, he'll send one. If you need a troop, he'll send a troop. He'll send what you need when you need it. Amen? Because you're his kids. He'll send daddy running. If the girl's being mistreated, daddy comes running. All right, we're his kids. So, God is there to protect you. This inward witness is going to be enhanced by circumstances. Just like Daniel, that circumstance he came against. Where God directs, the doors will open. That den was opened. The stone had to be rolled away, and he came out. And also, timing is real important in this enhancing the inward witness. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. God's timing is the best timing. And remember we said, he doesn't say yes, no, or maybe. What does he say? Yes and amen. All of his promises are yes and amen. But his timing might be a little longer than what we might want, right? Because it's not because he doesn't want to give us something because he's a good heavenly father. He's got to work with people. He's out here, when we pray for something, when Daniel and Darius are praying for some needs they need, God's got to work on those other people they're praying for. And see, a lot of times, God's not going to open up the door. We have to open the door up. So how does God get that door open? His Word, His people, His Spirit is there to encourage you, to build you up. He's not there to tear you down. That's what Ruthie heard this morning. That's how the doors get opened up. When you know you've done something wrong, but then somebody comes and encourages you and doesn't beat you down, that's God trying to get your heart opened up. That's the love of God bringing counsel. And then another way to enhance it is a spectacular guidance. It confirms the inward witness. Something spectacular happens that there's no way in the natural there's anything you could have done. That's just God saying, "I got your back, son. I got your back. I got all the power you need when you need it." That's when the devil thinks he's got you down. And then by the grace and the glory of God, those angels come to the rescue. Might not be able to see them, or you might see them. But a lot of times if you see something spectacular, it's because you're really in a hard place. Because he always wants to guide us, enhance us by this inward witness. That's the method number one. That's one of the main methods. I've got probably maybe three or four methods I want to get us to. And I'm going to kind of, that's how to enhance that inward witness. I'm going to stop there this week. But next week, well, we're going to be gone next week, so it'll be the prior week following. We're going to start to talk about the inward voice of your spirit. I'll say it again. The inward voice of your spirit. So our spirit has a voice. Your spirit's voice is your conscience. That's the voice of your spirit. That helps you, is speaking to you. And you can know this. Before you were born again, you didn't have a conscience. Before I came to Christ, my conscience was dead. I did what I wanted to do. See, that's the sin conscience. I'm not listening to God. My conscience is dead. It's seared. I've heard the Word, but I haven't received Christ. And I'm walking around just doing what I want to do. The flesh is going 100 miles an hour. And I'm just along for the ride. But Christ, when you get born again, Your spirit is recreated in holiness and righteousness. Your conscience comes alive. And that is how you are led to make right decisions. Because you hear this voice and you learn the voice. It's right or wrong. See, it's not when you, in other words, when you do something, I'm not going to teach this week. I'm going to try not to. When you're praying and asking God for something and you're not doing it God's way, you'll hear, this is the way. You'll hear that word, this is the way. Walk this way. And see, that's God inspiring you and encouraging you. That's your voice. And it's going to sound a lot like you. It'll sound just like your voice. In other words, I just heard myself say something. It'll be that voice of your conscience. And without God, you're going to make wrong decisions. Amen. And what happens is, it's not when you make a wrong decision, and what happens is the devil wants to get you to thinking about how bad you missed it, and he starts bringing condemnation. You're not worthy. You've messed up. You might as well just give up, quit. See, that's not the Holy Spirit condemning you. That's the devil condemning you. But the Bible says your heart is stronger. If you're being condemned, it says God's heart, His word is stronger than your heart. When that condemnation comes, you can tune into His voice and you can come out of that. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't bring condemnation. He's there to bring conviction of righteousness. This is who you are in Christ. That's how He encourages you. You are a child of God. You messed up. But Christ died for you. He shed His blood for you. You're a child of the King. You are righteous. He's going to convict you of how right you are in Christ Jesus. That's how the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And He'll guide you to the next step. Amen. He's always there to build us up. To build you up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a time of worship here. Just receive. Just breathe in. Just breathe in and receive the life of God this morning. His power. His ability. His ability. To make it through what we would say the unbearable, the impossible, the impassable. You might see something right now that's impassable. Impassable to go through it. What did Moses do? He stretched forth his rod. He stretched forth his rod. What is the rod? The Word of God. That's your sword now. Whatever you see that's impassable, stretch forth your rod. God will either part the water or you'll walk on top of the water. God will do what you can't do. He's already done it. He's already provided it. But our part is to pull the sword out of the sheath. Get that sword out. That's for the devil. The sword's for the devil. We've got to love our enemies, right? We've got to love those that persecute us and curse us and call us all this and that. Rejoice when they do that. Rejoice because you know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus said, if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. But rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, that's how you know. Just because you're having problems doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. That probably means you're right in the will of God. Because the devil's trying to get you out. He's going to bring all he can, but just like Daniel in the lion's den. My God delivers and He rescues. And I will continue to pray for him, for this king, for this nation, for these people. I will pray. And I will say what God says. Amen. Amen. That's a good word for you right there. Just because you're dealing with stuff doesn't mean God has dealt it to you. He hasn't dealt you a bad hand. He's dealt you two hands. How'd that song sing, Terry? Two hands and one heart. Hallelujah. He's given us all that we need Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Two hands, one heart, three persons, one God. We got all we need, right? That was what I was going to share right there. Lord brought me right back to the end. One of my students at school, she's been dealing with some things. And about three weeks ago, as she was walking in, I wasn't paying attention to her. I was in my briefcase and I found a CD of one of the teachers I taught maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And I was going to give it to one of my other students that I used to just hand out some extra stuff. But I said, no, give it. There's something. The inward witness said, give it to Grace. So Grace was walking by. I said, Grace, you want a free CD? Oh, yeah. And then she said, Professor, this is God. And it was a teaching on the full armor of God and what she was dealing with. And then some things we said that night. She goes, you just didn't give me this by coincidence. She said, I've been praying and seeking for some answers. And said, what you gave me is just what I needed. See, that's a divine guidance right there. Just taking something and just usually I give it to this person, but God says, nope, grace. And it just changed something that she needed. It was a word in due season that she needed. It was a teaching that she needed. And then God has done some special things in her life. She's a teacher. Praise God. Be looking for that. Be expecting that. God to use you. Don't look for these. I'm going to say something and they're going to see an angel, two angels, three angels. I'm going to prophesy this great. Just a simple thing, acts of love. You'll be amazed what God can do through you. Just something simple. Just be operating in love and the gifts will flow. The gifts, all these gifts that God has, they'll flow out of you like a river. Like a river. Amen. And then you'll feel yourself getting strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless us. We thank you for today. We thank you for our life. We thank you for everything that you provided us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're dismissed. Thank you, Dan.